The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
As we speak, Donald Trump is giving his official farewell address to the nation. It was pre-recorded. It is not live, but it is airing now as we speak. And had the opportunity to listen to the first 3 or 4 minutes of it. Incredibly gracious, humble, congratulating Joe Biden. I don't recall whether he mentions Biden by name, but he congratulates the next administration, says that he's going to pray for the next administration. Again, I just listened to a few minutes of it, and I would imagine it's not going to be a very long speech, but it is his farewell to America. He outlined why he ran for president. He was an outsider, didn't need the money, but believed he could help the country. Then he talked briefly about some of the accomplishments of his administration, thanked his wife, his children, the chief of staff. He also thanked graciously Mike Pence and his wife, Vice President Pence. There's been a lot of rumors running around that Trump and Pence aren't even speaking to each other, and Trump is furious with Pence. If that is true, the president certainly did not indicate that. Thanked Vice President Trump or Vice President Pence for his service, Vice President Pence's wife, and so forth. Donald Trump is doing the right thing. Again, I have not heard the rest of the speech. I would hope and pray that the entire speech is one of unity, calling the nation together. He did once again condemn the storming of the Capitol, the violence at the Capitol, and so forth. I want to say this quickly but emphatically. The fact that he is giving this farewell speech seems to disprove an awful lot of the conspiracy theories that have been running around that he had been secretly inaugurated and the Insurrection Act and so forth. And I'll just leave it at that. I have begged you, my listeners, to stay away from the extremes, stay away from the conspiracies, and deal with truth. And the truth is, tomorrow, around noon, Joe Biden will become the 46th president of the United States. And let me say again, that was not my choice. I did not vote for him. My conscience would never allow me to vote for someone who supports abortion, same-sex marriage, the destruction of the family. I never, my conscience could never allow me to vote for Joe Biden. But as I've said before, the minute he takes the oath, he will be my president. And I realize that many of you are disappointed, many of you are angry, and many of you have said, he will not be my president. I'm begging you to reconsider. Be biblical in your response, not emotional. This whole program is about interpreting world events, current events, from a biblical point of view. That's what we do here. We interpret, we evaluate world events, national events, local events, from a biblical worldview. And I would challenge you to look at what Scripture says, and there are several very applicable portions of Scripture. Romans chapter 13, read it again. Paul is obviously, there is no doubt whatsoever that Paul is talking about civil government in those first 13, 14 verses of Romans chapter 13. Now, what government is Paul under? He is under the totalitarian, atheistic, dictatorial Roman government. And read what Paul says his attitude was towards a dictatorial, atheistic government, the government of Rome. Then if you want Old Testament illustrations, I would encourage you to study the life of Daniel. Talk about a roller coaster. Daniel lived under several national leaders in Babylon. None of them were godly except Nebuchadnezzar, after God got his attention. Most of you know the story of how God got the attention of Nebuchadnezzar. But before that, and the other leaders that Daniel lived under were not godly at all. They were pagan. And yet Daniel obeyed, served, submitted, surrendered in every way possible until such time he was told to disobey God. At that point, he didn't make a big deal about it. He just obeyed God. And he was thrown in the lion's den for it, and God miraculously protected him. More illustrations in Scripture. So, if you are of the opinion and the attitude, he is not my president, I ask you to consider your attitude not from your emotions, but from biblical truth. Well, what if the election really was stolen? I don't know. Maybe it was. But at this point, Joe Biden will be the president. And again, biblically, how did the leaders in Bible times become kings and rulers? It was certainly not by free and open elections. And I know that when I say things like that, some of you are saying, I've capitulated, I've given up, I have gone over to the other side, I've become a part of the enemy. No, 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 no. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think there should be thorough investigations into the elections in the individual states, but constitutionally that happens on the state level, not the federal level. According to our Constitution, we literally have 50 individual elections. And the investigations, and if necessary, prosecutions should take place on the state level, and the people in those states should insist that their elected representatives in those states do what is right according to the Constitution of that state. I think the government in Pennsylvania violated their constitution. That's for the people of Pennsylvania to deal with. The irregularities in Georgia, that's for the people of Georgia to deal with. The things that happened in Michigan, that's for the people of Michigan to deal with. So anyway, please join me in praying for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Pray that God would get a hold of their hearts, their lives, their minds. Pray for them. All right. We'll take a break and then we will be back.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. President Trump just literally seconds ago ended his farewell address to the nation, a pre-recorded address. It is expected that he will make some more comments, probably off the cuff tomorrow, before he leaves Washington, D.C., but this was his official farewell address, and he made it very, very clear. He's finished. His presidency is over, and he desires a peaceful transition of power to the next administration. It's interesting, he did not mention Joe Biden by name, but he did refer to the next administration and how he is hopeful for the next administration. He talked a great deal about the accomplishments of his administration, the strength of America, his optimism for the future, his privilege of serving as the 45th president of the United States. And overall, it was very, very gracious. And I'm glad. I am grateful. That's exactly what he needed to do. Good for him. And I hope and I pray that this will help his legacy. The last two public speeches have been very gracious, humble, and condemning violence of any kind, whether they are people who say they are Trump supporters or whatever. He made that very, very clear that what happened to the Capitol building was wrong. It was evil. It should not have happened. He condemned all of the violence, all of the people that participated, whatever their political affiliation, and so forth. So I'm grateful for that. I am grateful. And the plan is that he will leave Washington tomorrow morning in time to arrive in Florida on the ground before noon. That's when the official transfer of power takes place. Noon tomorrow, as Joe Biden will be sworn in and will be officially inaugurated as the President of the United States. Now, let me turn to some really, really good news. If you were listening earlier, it was my privilege to have Cindy Boston with us from Heartbeat International. And I mentioned to you that the end of this week, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to ask you to take care of at least 5 full days of the option line. Listen to me. If you are pro-life, there is nothing more effective and efficient to save the lives of unborn babies than Heartbeat International and Option Line. I can prove that to you factually. There is no organization. There is no method. There is nothing that is more efficient in actually saving the lives of unborn babies than Heartbeat International and the Option Line. So our goal, our desire, is to take care of 5 full days at least. Well, it takes $1,800 every single day. Well, I am happy to report that Victoria in Powell has become our first donor, and because of her incredible generosity, we have 1/2 of our first day taken care of. We want to take care of at least 5 days. We have 1/2 of our first day, and we haven't even officially begun the campaign. So, Victoria, if you are still listening, God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And, folks, the campaign doesn't officially begin until Thursday, but the banner is up right now at thewordcolumbus.com. Thewordcolumbus.com, just click on the heartbeat banner. You can't miss it. It's there. Or you can go straight to the website, saveababy.com. Save, I think it's .com. Let me make sure here. Hang on. Let me just see here really quick. I'll have it here for just a minute. I think it's .com. Here it is. Okay, scrolling down. Yeah, saveababynow.com. I thought that was correct. You go straight to that website, and you can give there as well. On Thursday, you'll have an opportunity to call Option Line and make your pledge. But I am just pumped. We're already 1/2 of our first day, and we haven't officially begun the campaign. So I'm just very, very grateful. TheWordColumbus.com, click on Option Line, or go to SaveABabyNow.com. It would be great if we could have a huge head start when we come to Thursday of this week. The LA Times, I'm going to run out of time here. And by the way, I have a very special guest coming up in the next hour. Roger Blackwell. Some of you are familiar with the building down at Ohio State that used to be called the Blackwell. Well, it was named after Roger Blackwell until he went to prison. One of the most respected faculty members at Ohio State University spent 6 years in prison. He says it's one of the best things that ever happened to him, and he'll be telling us his story. Top of the hour. I won't get to the LA Times article now. I'll do that maybe a little bit later. Lord willing, this is live radio. When we come back, Roger Blackwell.